Many things have taken center place. We want Christ to be the center. We want Him to be everything. We need the Holy Spirit. Show me a church that doesn't remember the death of Christ and it's no longer central. I'll show you a church that lacks the Holy Spirit. They may say they have the Holy Ghost, but there is something wrong when Christ is put to the side and the remembrance of Him is made a little thing. There is something seriously wrong. If you walked in this morning and you're covered in spots head to toe, I'm going to get worried. I'm at least going to inquire what's wrong. You know why? Because if it's contagious, I want to know. And I want to be able to tell everybody else accordingly. If you have spots, I'm going to notice it. I'm going to tell you as well, in the church, the body of Christ, you see certain things, you get worried. You ought to get worried when you see certain things in the church. When I see spots in the church, I begin to worry. When I see wrinkles in the church, I begin to worry. Please turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. If you find the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, then Galatians, then Ephesians. Never be embarrassed to go to the front of your Bible. You have all the books listed there. You can find it nice and easily. I know some of us have grown up in Sunday school. Others, we're coming into this fresh. Never be embarrassed about that. All of us, you can know the Bible all your days and you might struggle to find a certain book at times. So never be embarrassed. We love the Word of God here. We have an honor and a respect for the Word of God. Amen. My message, and I believe the Lord's given me three messages, and this is the first on redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. I want you to understand what redeeming the time is. We know the Bible says that. We know the apostle said to redeem the time. But can I ask you, what does it mean to redeem the time? This is the first of three messages that I believe the Lord's given me to explain what that one sentence means. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proven what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And notice this last scripture, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me say that again. Redeeming the time because The days are evil. Please pray with me, Father, Lord God, knowing that these days are evil. We are seeing it week by week, month by month. We are seeing it in our nation, the nations around us. We are seeing the rising tide of iniquity. We acknowledge this morning that these are indeed evil days. There have been days of revival. There's been days of your Spirit moving. But my God, we recognize that we have been born and birthed into the kingdom of God for such an hour as this. We recognize they're evil days, but my God, we're not victims of evil days, nor God, we're not casualties of such an evil day. We are those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, saved by the love and the grace and the mercy of God, who are going to redeem the hour. My God, in this hour, I'm praying that you would inspire us and encourage us and strengthen us to redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil. Will you just bless your word? Will you speak to us? You know every heart. You know what every heart needs. My God, speak individually to every person in this room in the mighty name of Jesus. My message is redeeming the time. The first of three messages. Here we read Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When an evil day arises, when an evil day comes to our generation or our society or our city, when we realize and recognize and acknowledge and begin to see that we are actually living in an evil day, the Bible commands us we are to redeem the time. You are, every one of you in this room, are to do something when it's an evil day. We're not to be passive. Saints, hear me this morning. We are not victims of a dark hour. We are not casualties of this hour. This is the church's greatest hour. Let it get darker out there. Our light is going to shine brighter. I tell you, there's a church, it's closed its eyes, it pretends it's not happening, or it shuts its doors and locks itself in the church. I want to tell you, this is our greatest hour. And the Bible says that because the days are evil. What does it mean for these days to be evil? The actual word means to be hurtful days. That these are days of toil, of anguish, or of hardship. It's actually talking spiritually, not physically. It is talking that an evil day is a day in which those days are hurtful to your spiritual walk with God. That this hour that we live in contains elements that are detrimental to spiritual life. That all around us in the school system and in the church and in education and on the streets and in the workplace is an environment arising that's detrimental to spirituality. I mean a real walk with God. What is an evil day? It's when our whole environment becomes an enemy of a spiritual life in Christ. What are evil days? They are evil days that are detrimental to spirituality. Do you not see it? Do you not feel it in this hour? That in around us is a spiritual climate that is an enemy to walking with God, to being holy, to being honest, to be upright. In around us is an environment that has become an enemy to walking with Jesus Christ. That is an evil day. But Paul writing here says that in such a day, a diseased hour, a corrupt generation, an hour in which iniquity is abounding around you, you, the saints of God, are to redeem the time. If ever you redeem the time, you've got to do it now. Since homosexuality is rampant, it has been legalized in Ireland and across the world for the first time in world history. Never has homosexuality in the nations been set in law. Never in the Roman Empire was homosexuality set into the statutes of the empire. It did happen. It's always happened. But it's never become part of the constitution of our world. You see, these days are evil days, but these are the very days that we are to redeem the time. We must understand, if we have ever understood this term, you need to know it now. If you don't understand what redeeming the time is, God has given us these three messages that we may become wise and learn what it means to redeem the time. It's not a time to grow discouraged. It's not a time to give up. This is a time for us to do something. What do you do when it gets dark all around you and our world is becoming decadent? Do we just simply look to get out of here? No, we redeem the time. Paul has wisely given us this instruction to redeem the time. What does this word redeem mean? It actually means to buy back or to purchase something. It means to pay a price for or to rescue it from loss. You see, when it's evil and around you, when the society becomes diseased, when disease gets in the framework of the church, when dry rot sets into the building spiritually, I want to tell you, we need to buy back our personal time from loss. You see, when it's dark all around you, it's very easy to dim down, that your light becomes dim, that you don't walk wisely anymore, or you don't allow your light to shine. That is a great danger. But I want to tell you, in an hour when everything seems against the spiritual life, Paul says, redeem the time. Rescue your time. Rescue it from an evil hour. Don't just sit there, saints of God. This is a time to fight a good fight, war a good warfare. I'm not letting this society dominate my spirituality. I'm not letting the climate in the legal profession or the political profession or in the carnal church affect my spirituality. We can be in revival in this church. We can have a genuine revival. The church in this nation might be cold and backslidden, but we can have a revival in this city where a great harvest of soul comes in. I don't care about the person beside me. I can be in personal revival. I've got no excuse with anyone around me. If all of this church said we just want to live apathetic, I have no excuse, and neither do you. We can walk with God in such an hour. We're not victims of a dark hour. We are those who aggressively say, I am going to purchase back my time. I'm not having the darkness this hour destroy my time, steal my spirituality, take away my light, or steal my wisdom. I am actually going to prosper in this hour. What does it mean to redeem the time? It's saving your time from an evil day. It is rescuing your spiritual life from the iniquity around you. Evil days can steal your time. They can steal your oil. They can steal your testimony. They can steal your zeal. They can steal your spiritual strength. They can steal your faith in God, like we heard this morning, where our God becomes small. Instead of being glorious, we forget that He's a healer. And I want to tell you, He is a healer this morning. He is a deliverer. He is an answerer of prayer. But in the darkness of night, we can easily forget this. Look at this, the beginning of this chapter in verse 2. It says, Christ also hath loved us, and He has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Notice at the beginning of this chapter, it talks about Christ loving us and giving Himself for us. Jesus Christ so loved us that He gave Himself for us. Have you ever laid down your life for someone that you love? I mean, physically, did you ever die in the place of somebody else? The fact that you're all here shows you never physically done that. But Christ did that for you. He literally put Himself between you and the wrath of God. He paid a price to save you. You see, that is love. Love compels you to pay a price. And that's what Christ done. In verse 2, we have Christ paying a price. But in verse 16, we pay a price. We pay a price to redeem the time. From this dark hour, we are going to snatch back. We are going to take back what this world has been stealing. Saints, have you felt it in this generation and hour? Do you feel things pressing in your prayer time? Do you feel the environment we live trying to steal the holiness of heart and life? Do you feel this environment and the influence of this world pressing in upon you? Then it's time to fight back. We need to redeem these things. If Christ died for me and paid so great a price, it is a small thing for me to pay a price to redeem my time. We say, oh, but I can't find time to pray. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. I'm too busy. Then you're too busy. Oh, but I've got important things. Oh, you're in trouble if you think anything is more important. I want to assure you, if Christ's death for you means anything, then you paying a price to redeem the time is so vital. I believe the first great thing, and let me take you to it here this morning. The first great meaning of redeeming the time is to have a life filled with light. Let me say that again. The first great meaning in this chapter of redeeming the time is to make sure that you do whatever it is to pay whatever price in order that your life is filled with light. You will have to pay a price individually to be filled with light. That doesn't happen accidentally. That doesn't happen just by being in a church. That doesn't happen mystically. You will have to pay a price. If you want to be filled with light, if you want a life filled with light, you will have to pay a price. Paul writing in verse 8 here, he says, "For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye in the Lord, walk as children of light." Notice here that Paul, in this evil day, he speaks about those who are darkness. And he speaks about those who are children of light. This is the great separation. You see, as I said before in this church, there's no divide in this church between black and white. There never will be. There's not going to be any bigotry against a white man or a black man. We'll never allow it. I despise such things. I don't care whether you're the richest man in the nation. I'll still preach the same to you. I don't care if you haven't anything in your pockets and you're as poor as a church mouse. I don't really care. There's no dividing point. I don't care if you're educated or uneducated, whether you know how to read the Bible or don't. That isn't what divides us in this room. Either sitting here right now, either you're spiritually in darkness, you are darkness, or you're a child of light. You're one or the other. There is no midnight. There's no twilight hour in the church. Either you're in darkness or you're light. Either you're a child of darkness or you're a child of the light. You need to know, what are you? Notice here, it actually says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Isn't that wonderful? I was darkness. Thank God it's past tense. I'm not here saying I'm half in darkness, half in light, trying to find my way through.
Thank you, Lord.
Ye were sometimes darkness. Paul writing here to the Christians, he said, it's past tense. You used to be in darkness. You see, every man and woman used to be in darkness. Having been born of Adam's race, you were in darkness. You walked in darkness. You were darkness. Oh, but I try my best. No, you are darkness. Notice here, it doesn't say they walk in darkness. It doesn't say it's dark around them or they have some dark thoughts. It actually says, ye were sometimes darkness. Paul actually says to them, you were darkness. That's what you were. Oh, but I used to be very good. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I was very moral. What about Paddy went and bought a brick with his name on it for the stadium? How did they ever manage without them? The place must be falling apart without him. But I'm telling you, that stone means nothing. We weren't good. We weren't righteous. We are all born in darkness. Paul actually says, you were darkness. Your thinking, your attitudes, your will. Men talk about having a free will to come to Christ. Show me a drug addict that has a free will. Bound by sin, fallen. Bound by hell itself. You need a miracle from God to enable you to come to Christ. You need the love of Christ to draw you. No man naturally desires God. It's not within him. What does Paul say in Romans 2? None is righteous, none is good, none feareth God, none seeks after God. No man naturally seeks after God. It's not in the old nature. They were darkness. Paul actually says here, we were, past tense, darkness. That's how we lived our life. But it wasn't just outwardly, it was inwardly. It was of the heart, it was of the mind. I was darkness. And if you're not in Christ this morning, you're in darkness. You are darkness. Oh, but I'm trying to be better, so will you save me? No, you're darkness. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either in the light or you're out of the light. You can't be halfway between. Oh, but I'm trying to get over. No, when you're in darkness, it means inwardly you're in darkness. Outwardly, you can't see right. You can't see clearly. Do you know, men who live in the dark, who don't live by daylight, I'm not going to ask them much. They've got nothing to tell me. A man who lives in darkness, he'll never learn. He'll never know how to walk. He doesn't know where he's going and he can't advise anyone else to. I'd be a very foolish man to ask those sitting in darkness, how do I get to heaven? If they don't know how to live right, why would I ask them? I'm going to ask a man who's living in the light. Show me a man in the light. I've got a lot of questions for him. Show me a wise man. I've got a lot of questions for him. Paul says we were sometimes in darkness. Do you know what the word darkness here in the Greek means? It's Scotus. Do you know what Ireland used to be called? Scotia. It comes from the same word. Ireland used to, by the Roman Empire, they named Ireland Scotia. It actually means darkness. They said that great island at the furthermost western point of the empire, it is darkness. That's what the Roman Empire thought of you and I. They said, this little island. And then, do you know what else got called Scotia? Scotland got called Scotia. We were Scotia Major. They were Scotia Minor. Irishmen used to be called Scotsmen. You're actually Scotsmen, if you only knew it. And then the name got transferred. But do you know what they're saying? These nations were in pagan darkness. There was no light in these nations until Patrick came. Men walked in the darkness of their mind. They didn't know righteousness. These nations were dark. But notice what Paul says, ye are light. Your past testimony is, ye were darkness. That was your nature, that's what you were. You couldn't see. Oh, I don't see anything wrong with that. That's because you're blind. Go ask all the criminals out there in the streets. Say, do you see anything wrong with stealing off this person? Oh no. You know why? They're in darkness. They can honestly say that. They may not be honest, but they could be an honest thief. Well, do you think you're doing wrong? No, they've got lots, I don't have any. What's wrong with that? Robin Hood has come back again to Limerick City. What about the drug addict? Well, he says, makes me feel better. Makes me forget my troubles, or alcohol. Do you see anything wrong with alcohol? Absolutely not. I enjoy it. Well, what about immorality and sin? Sure, I enjoy it. Is there joy in sin? Oh yes, there's pleasures of sin. For a time, there is pleasure in sin. There is a pleasure in getting drunk, or in immorality, or in doing what you want. There is pleasure, the Bible says it. There are pleasures of sin. Go and drink them fully. But I'll tell you, it'll come to an end. And do you know what the dregs are? It's not a bit of grip, it's the wrath of God. You can drink all the pleasure of sin, and when you get to the bottom of that glass, because it will run out, it will come to an end. At the bottom of that glass is the wrath of God, a day of reckoning with all of us. You see, there's many in this city, they don't see their need of Christ. Why? Because they are darkness. You can talk to a man about what the Bible says about his life. I look at his life, I look at the Bible, I tell him. He says, well, I don't see it that way. You know why? He's in darkness. That is a manifestation of the spots. A man who can't see what the Bible says about him. He has spots. Spiritual spots that show there's a disease. But thank God, Paul said, ye are light. Not just that you walk in light. Not just that you try to obey things. You are light. God has changed your nature. You used to be darkness. You can't change a man's nature from darkness to light. That isn't a man resolving to do better. That isn't a man trying to be better or turning over a new leaf. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be better. I won't do that again. But you see, if your nature is darkness, you're caught. Yeah, that is your nature. If it was just doing something outwardly, well, you could walk away from it. But when that is within you, it is who you are. You need a miracle of God's grace. But thank God, Paul says, you are light. You are like when you become a Christian, when you're born again, God changes you. It's not a case of you've got to clean your life up in order to be a Christian. Or I'm going to try better. Or I'll try not to curse. Or I'll try not to do those things. And I'll become so good that I'm a Christian. That isn't the Christian experience. Do you know what it is? It's having a face-to-face meeting with God where I say, I come as a sinner. I come condemned. I cannot change myself. I cannot make myself different. I need you to do a miracle within me. Will you change me? He'll say, yes, sir, I will. I will. You ask me, I'll change you. He will change the nature. You see, Paul talks here about ye are light. And if you're a Christian, you are light. You are literally spiritually light. I'm talking about redeeming back time in an evil day. This is what we are to be. One of the great marks of redeeming time is to be light in a dark world. The darker it gets out there, I am going to be a light. It's dark in my workplace. Well, I'm going to be the light. It's dark in my family. They don't believe anything. I'm going to be a light. This city is dark. Well, I'm going to be a light. Well, look at the state of the churches. They let the world in the church. Not in this one. We're going to keep it at the door. We don't have to go that way. You see, what is it to redeem the time? What does it mean in an evil day to redeem the time? It actually means that we are going to live as light in this world. And that's what it is, because there's an environment out there. It wants to put a cover on your light. It wants to dim down your light. It wants to steal your oil. That is the environment. That's what happens in an evil day. But I want to assure you that we are to let our light shine. If ever we let our light shine, let it be this hour. When it's darkest, a little light shines further, doesn't it? The light that shines in the darkest hour of any age will have the privilege of shining further and brighter than any others. You see, if we were saved into a day of revival, my little light could sit at the back of the church, not be noticed. Isn't that right? But let a day of great darkness come. And we'll go a bunch of nobodies from nowhere with nothing much to speak about. We shine as a bright light. I tell you, the darker it gets out there, your little light can shine with 10,000 watts or whatever else. We can be magnified with our light shining in a dark world. But notice here, he says, ye are light in the Lord. You don't get this light outside the Lord. It's not what you do. It's in the Lord. It's being light. You become light in the Lord. If you get into the Lord, you become light. Outside of the Lord, you are darkness. But to become this light, or to redeem the time, is to find light in the Lord. He also says here, to walk as children of light. If you say that you are light, if you say that your nature is light, that you're a Christian, that you're born again, then your life ought to be marked with light. Oh, I'm a Christian, then I'm looking for light. Amen. You say I'm born again, well, I'm looking for light. I tell you, you can't hide a light in a dark room. You cannot do it. Neither can you hide a Christian in an evil hour. Let me meet a man, be around him, I'll tell you if he's a Christian or not. Oh, but you're not meant to judge. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. I better know if a man's saved or if he's not saved. By your fruits you will know them. Jesus said it. He said, you'll know them. Just look at a man long enough, you'll know, is he a wolf or a sheep, a goat or whatever else. You know how you know a goat? Nose, go, but. The Bible says, but. That's how you know a goat. They've always got something to say in contradiction with the word. It's never that simple. Well, brother, that is a bit extreme. No, it's what Jesus taught. Here I preach very low. I'm barely in as normal. I tell you, amongst those apostles, they never would have let me preach a sermon. They would have said, you need to move on a wee bit. We need to get those qualities higher. We have brought things down instead of bringing things up to heaven. We brought everything down to a carnal realm. But that's going to have to change if we redeem the time. I want to redeem the church back again, saints. This environment is pulling the world into carnality. It's calling people Christians who are not Christians. Do you know how I know? There's no light in them. There's no light in their conversation. There's no light in their actions. There's no light in their understanding. Their nature is not changed. They might be able to mention the name of Jesus, but they are not born again. You see, he says, if you're in the light, you will walk as a children of light. That's how I know that you're a child. You're not only saying, I'm in the light, but you're going to walk your life in the light. That's how I know a Christian. That's how you look at my life and know, am I in darkness or am I in light? Notice as well in verse 2 that Paul writes here, and walk in love. What is love? Love is light. Light is love. People take love and say, send him out. I love you, brother. Well, will you keep his commandments? Will you pray for me, encourage me, edify me, rebuke me? That's love. You say, how do I define love? You better make sure that your terminology or definition of love is defined by light and by truth. The step outside the word of God. That isn't love. Love is defined by truth and by light. You see, Paul says, walk in love. If you're walking in the light, you'll walk in love. You won't get angry with your brother. You will love your brother. In verse 9 he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth. You see, I can tell you're a child of light, that you're walking in light, because the fruit of the Spirit is there. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. If there's no fruit, then either they're only in the door and we need to wait a little moment. We need to give them time for that work of sanctification to begin. But I tell you, if you're still sleeping with an unmarried partner, you're not saved, you haven't even begun. You aren't even in the door. Because someone who immediately, supernaturally got born again, they're not getting drunk this week, I can assure you. Oh, but I just go back to it once every week, then you're on your way to hell. You're lost, you're actually walking in darkness. Oh, well, I fall back into the red light district again. Well, you're darkness, but enjoy it. Your darkness. But I love Jesus. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're neither walking in love, walking in truth, or walking in light. You're actually walking in darkness. You see, fruit is evident. What is it to be in light or walk in light? There's fruit. There's an evidence. You're going to be consumed with Jesus. Do you love him this morning? Do you love Jesus Christ? Oh, well, I prayed him and he answered my prayers. I didn't ask that. I said, do you love him?
Hallelujah.
How do I know that you love him? If you love him, and this is what Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, but I can't, or some of them I do. If you love me, keep my commandments.
All of them.
Back to front, inside out, upside down, Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
In verse 7 it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. With who? With those in darkness. Don't be a partaker with them. Or in verse 11 it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You are not to be a partaker in darkness. What does it mean to be a partaker or to have fellowship? Because if you're a light, if you're a child of light, if you're born again, you are not to be a partner in sin or with darkness. You're not enter into fellowship with them. What does it mean to be a partaker or to have fellowship? It means to be a co-participant or to dwell together in unity and harmony or to be a companion with those in darkness. Brother, I'll have to leave the world. If you saw my workplace, if you saw my family, if you saw my neighbours, do you want me to get out of this world? Oh no, that isn't what I'm saying at all. You're not to have any fellowship with darkness if you're a Christian. If you're a sinner, it doesn't matter. You're part of the darkness. But if you're a real Christian, you are not to be a co-participant or in fellowship with those in darkness. What does it mean? Does it mean that I can't go and sit with them or talk with them? Does it mean that I can't have unsafe friends? Does it mean that I can't sit and enjoy talking with a neighbor or with someone who isn't saved? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean I have to segregate myself and separate myself from everyone out there? No, it doesn't. You see, separation is different than segregation. What does segregation mean? You separate yourself out. That's segregation. You remove yourself from those in darkness. But that isn't separation. You know what separation is? Jesus sitting surrounded by sinners. He's a holy man. And he's sharing the love of God with them. He is a friend of sinners. Remember that Jesus was called the friend of sinners? Being a partaker in darkness doesn't mean that you have friends in the world. What it does mean is you partake of their sins. You're sitting there, they're cursing, telling their dirty jokes. You just drop your head. You don't say anything. You just move on down the road. But you don't say anything. You sit there and you let them talk and you just bow your head and say, "Oh God, help me." You're being a partaker in that. If you just pretend it's not happening, go, well, they're unsaved. They're darkness. You are actually entering in. If you go to the pub and drink their beer, you're being a partaker in their sin. You cannot do that. Oh, but only go for a pint and don't get drunk. That would be a 10-week series, wouldn't it? Oh, but I go there. Most of those Christians who go to pubs never witness about Christ. They never talk about the man's soul. They're not in earnest praying, weeping, begging him to turn to Christ. Oh, I'll have a pint with him in the bar, surrounded by the world. And we'll talk about all the foolish things of the day. Then you're a partaker in their sin. You're actually in fellowship with their sin. Oh, but I never get drunk. You might as well do. You listen to their dirty stories. Oh, I'd never tell it. You might as well do. You might as well. That's what it is to be a partaker. What about in the church? False prophets preaching but say nothing. Christians say all manners of things and we go, well, it's none of my business. It better be your business. If they're preaching heresy. I sat in a church once and the preacher, it was filled with preachers, this room. And the man, he was in his mid-70s and he preached this. It was the most powerful message I ever heard on righteousness. And then in the middle he said this and he said, God was the greatest sinner who ever existed. I went, error. And he went on to say three statements, shocking statements, which no preacher would ever say. I went, I know exactly what he is. No preacher would say that. No preacher. At the end, my friend went to him and says, brother, what are you doing? Why did you say that? This old preacher, 50 years preaching. He said, oh, brother, he said, I was just being sensational. You don't play games with the word of God. You don't do that. I tell you, that man, as soon as he reached out his message, I got up and I'm out of there. I am not staying there. Or else I'll become a partaker of that. We are to be separated in the church. I love many people in the church, but I'm not going where they're going. I'm not going to listen to what they listen to. I love them. I care about them. But there is light. There's a walk of light. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And he sat in the midst of them. I tell you, the drunkards come and sat at his table. The drug addicts, if they had them in those days, would have been drawn to Christ. He was the most holy, the most light-filled man who ever walked the earth. And yet sinners are drawn to that light. Saints, we are to be that. This is redeeming the time. We have a short time left. God has put us in the darkest of hours. It's our time to redeem. It is our job to redeem the time. What is darkness? It says in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's no fruit in it. Look at the lives that I've met in this city. Drink, drugs, immorality, what it's done to them. I've sat here, I've been on streets, I've listened to people, what's happened to their relationships and their own life and their children. People jumping in this river. I tell you, week after week we're hearing of it, of people who say, do you know what? All those people done whatever they wanted. They could partake of any sin they wanted, couldn't they? Didn't they go out into the city trying to find peace of heart, saying, maybe if I try it, find it in drugs, or maybe in drink, or maybe in a relationship with a girl, then the girl leaves them, and they go, what's the point of living? Paul says darkness is unfruitful. All the works of darkness, all the life of sin, there's no real fruit in it. Do you know what? After you've enjoyed it and you've partaken of it, you get to the end, you go, where's the fruit? What do I have to show for it? Nothing. I'm empty. I'm dry. I don't even know why I'm alive. I don't want to even live. This is a tragic generation. We live in a city where many young people are throwing their lives away. Don't tell me this generation don't want to hear. They do want to hear. There's many in our streets are crying out, is there anybody who loves? I mean really loves. Is there anyone with an answer? Can someone show me how to be free of drugs? Yes, I can. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ. You may not be able to get free, but I'll tell you of a man who can set you free. He can deliver you. That's what the works of darkness are. They're unfruitful. But notice what Paul says in verse 11. He says, have no fellowship with them. If you're a Christian, don't enter into those things or partake of them. Don't be infected, but rather reprove them. Oh, well, I'll just sit quiet. I don't believe in it. That's not enough. Oh, I just sit in the church. I won't send to anyone. Grumble when I go home. That is not enough. Oh, I've been with my mates and they're sinning and they're doing terrible things. What did you do? This is redeeming time. I'm in the workplace and they're talking filthy. I'm going to step up into the middle and say, do you know what, guys? What? I love Jesus Christ. Amen. I've just redeemed the time. They're all there looking at me. What do you say next? Well, that broke the conversation up, didn't it? We were having our nice conversation and you have to bring Jesus in. Why do you always talk about Jesus? Hold on, I just mentioned him once. You have been talking about sin for the past hour. I mentioned Jesus and I'm the problem. Hold on. If you're going to talk about your filth, I'll talk about Jesus. Amen. What did you do this weekend? Well, I preached for an hour on Sunday morning. Change of subject. You know what I love about Ireland? They don't change the subject always. They go, what did you preach? What do you do? They ask another 100 questions. I love it. You know, brother, you know what it's like in England. The subject will become the weather, won't it? So easily. I tell you, we redeem the time. Don't be a victim in the workplace or in your family. Don't grow weary. Don't get offended. They're sinners. They're darkness. They don't understand. Oh, but they hate me because I'm a Christian. Don't worry about it. Love them. What did Paul say about the Corinthians? About the church Christians. The less they love me, well, I won't love them. He didn't say that. He said, the less they love me, the more I love them.
Hallelujah.
Oh, but I've got a right to be this or that or the other. No, you don't. Not if you're light. You can be a partaker. See how you can be a partaker of Christian sins? Well, they're angry. They're this, they're that. Well, you enter into that and get affected, you become a partaker of their sin. But they done this. But you're as bad as them. You're partaking. You're meant to love them. You're meant to overcome. You're meant to shine. You're meant to redeem that situation. They're angry at me. I'm going to love them. They curse me. I'm going to bless them. You ever had men cursing you? I have.
I have. Many of them.
And you know what? You better get alone with God and say, Lord, I bless them in Jesus' name. They've done that. They've wronged me, but I'm going to bless them. They can curse me, but I'll bless them. I'm going to pray heaven open over them. Lord, move on their heart and set them on fire. What am I doing? I'm redeeming the time. I'm stealing it back. I'm taking it back. I'm saying I'm not going to become a victim. What is darkness? Paul shares about it in verse 3, 4, and 5. He says it's fornication. Sleeping around outside of marriage. He said it's uncleanness, impurity of mind and heart. It's covetousness. You're greedy. I want a house. I want this. I want that. He says, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. You say you're saints, not to be mentioned once amongst us. If we say we're light, these sins aren't even to be mentioned. In other words, this shouldn't even ever happen. This should never be a Christian. And I know sin happens. And I know a genuine believer can fall from grace. And I know that a genuine believer can get caught up in a lot of things that they shouldn't have. I know that. I know that in a very real way. But I want to tell you that a real Christian in our churches, in real church, fornication shouldn't even once be mentioned. Not one real Christian. It shouldn't be said that a real Christian committed fornication. Not even once. You know why? Because they're light. But it's different if you're in darkness. Your issue isn't fornication or greediness. You know what it is? We're all fallen. We're all sinners. It's just those issues make us conscious. Man, Lord, I need you to move in my life. He goes further. Neither filthiness, meaning talk, nor foolish talking. That means silly talk or buffoonery. Oh, but there's nothing wrong with that. Read the Bible. Nor jesting. What is that? Turning words. Always trying to be the smart aleck. Brother, I think it's the greatest sin in Northern Ireland in the churches. The foolishness, the jesting. I'm saying destroy ministries, destroy preachers, destroy churches. Sure, it's only a joke. A lot of sin goes behind a joke. A lot of things happen behind little comments where it's not to be amongst us. We're to be free of it. It says, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. People who can only be foolish and joke and buffoonery, but they're not given thanks. They've replaced it. Now, I had a brother tell me. He actually said, well, sure, if you don't have a joke, you'd go crazy. A born-again believer. I said, you know what? I give thanks to the Lord. I worship Him. I adore Him. Let me get to praising Him. I'll laugh, I'll shout, I'll jump, I'll do whatever. I'll do a wee dance in my home. I may not do it in front of you. But there is a joy that comes in these things. But Paul's saying, all these things are darkness. All the uncleanness, the foolishness, all of this. And he says, for ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. What's an idolater? You use statues or idols in worship.
Icons.
Yeah. You use these in worship. He says, they won't be in heaven. Mm-hmm. Do you know people in this city who use statues and idols and all sorts of things, icons? And they use it, say, oh, I'm not worshipping that, I'm just worshipping the God behind it. You're an idolater. The Bible says, Paul writes here, no idolater will inherit the kingdom of God. Could you show me a priest who will tell you that in this city? Would you take me to him? Now, is there a priest out there who will tell you and actually read from the Bible, if you're an idolater, you won't make it to heaven. If you get caught up in that, it's so detrimental. It's darkness. That is as dark as pagan worship. When we have statues of Mary, of the saints, and all manners of things. The Jesuits across the road built, I think, €20,000 for a new angel on the top of the roof. 20,000. I wish they'd give it to me. I'd spend it all on tracks. Not right, brother. We would flood this city. 20,000. We can put the gospel in this city with that. We don't need an angel on top of the church. It is darkness. It is walking in darkness. But notice this in verse 13. He says, but all things are approved, are made manifest by the light. How do you know light? How do you know I'm preaching light? Can I ask you here? You better know this. How do you know week to week that I'm preaching truth? How do you know it's light? You know why? Because he says here, light reproves and manifests. That is the nature and the character of light. If there was a preaching in this church that allowed you to sit easy with your sin and allowed you to feel comfortable and that you could come in here, it would be darkness. Show me a church where the preaching never convicts, never deals with things in the life. I tell you, there's darkness in it. Oh, but we don't talk about these things. We just love Jesus. There's darkness there. Because light reproves. What does reprove mean? It means to actually rebuke. Unless you are light, you don't rebuke. Is there any light in your life? Then it ought to rebuke darkness and sin. If your life doesn't bring a rebuke or a shame on those who walk in sin, if there isn't a correcting of those who walk in sin, what is your light? Your light ought to be holiness. It ought to be truth. It ought to be pure. You see, he says, light does reprove. And it makes manifest. What does the word manifest mean? It means to render apparent. It makes things clear. Do you know what light does? It makes things very clear. There's no obscuring. Oh, but I don't believe that. The Bible says it. The Bible says it. The Bible is very clear. Very distinct. And what light does is actually reveal things for where they are. Light will reveal where you are. Oh, but I don't like to hear that. We need to hear it. We need to hear it. He says in verse 10, proven what is acceptable unto the Lord. Not only do we separate from sin, not only do we reprove sin, and you are meant to reprove. You are meant to correct what is wrong or what is darkness. I'm not going on those streets and simply saying Jesus loves everyone. I have to deal with sin. I have to make them conscious of their need of Christ. You know what Peter said? You crucified the Messiah. And that's some gospel preaching in the street. Don't be preaching that in Limerick this week. You crucified. You're guilty of putting Christ on the cross. Why wouldn't have done that? Your sin did. Your sin put Christ there on the cross. Let me finish. It says in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Who are these that are sleeping who Paul speaks to? He's speaking about certain ones in his audience. And he says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Notice that these ones who are asleep, he actually says they're dead. They're not just asleep, they look like they're asleep. But they need to wake out of this sleep. They're actually dead. If you're in darkness, you're dead in your sin. You're actually dead spiritually. You're cut off from God. That's what it is to be in darkness. Do you know why you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that's moved? Because you're in darkness, you're dead. But Paul actually says unto these people who are dead and in darkness, he says, awake, awake thou that sleepest. It's like shaking a man. It's like grabbing him and shaking him and saying, wake up, you're going to die. You're in a state of death. You're carrying on in your life as if nothing's wrong. But light reproves it. Light reveals it. Light wants to rescue you. Saints, do you know why I preach truth? Because I love you. I love you with all my heart. Every sinner we've met in this city, I love them. I would die for them. I'm not playing games with religion. Light reproves and light will rescue you. Light will show you that you're a sinner. And light will come with a hand to shake you and say, wake up. And the Bible says if you wake up, if you stir yourself, Christ will give you life. He'll save you. He'll actually change your nature and make you into light. If you're in darkness, in sin, living in sin, and here, that's the nature of sin. You'd be very strange if you're outside of Christ and didn't sin. I'd be going, what sort of creature are you? I'd be going, here, I don't have any problem with sinners in this. I'm a friend of sinners. I love to be with those who don't know Christ. I would make them my greatest friends in this city. But you know what I don't like is hypocrisy in the church and game playing in the church. I hate that. I hate all the games of religion where they won't speak the truth, they won't be real, they won't be honest. They judge those who are innocent and they justify those who are guilty. God help us. But Paul is preaching, awake now that sleepest. It is time for us to awake. It is time in this church we are to be like, what is it to redeem the time? If you're sitting here and you're not saved, it's time to awake. How do you redeem the time in an evil hour? How do you get the time and take it back? How do you pay a price? Repent. Repent, cry out, say, oh God, I need this light to shine in me. Don't leave me like I am. I want a light to shine upon me like it did with Saul. I want change. I want delivered. I don't want to live 20 years as a sinner and go to hell. I don't want to live like everyone else, enjoying my sin and at the end of it face an eternal hell. And hell is eternal. Hell is eternal. If it isn't, then there's no eternal heaven. If there's no eternal punishment, there's no eternal reward. Please stand with me. Oh Jesus, hallelujah.